Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefrey, and this is episode number 296. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps us continue to highlight the great people we have in our profession. Also want to thank our sponsor, Train Heroic, for sponsoring this episode and just being such a great partner, great friend in the business. They do a phenomenal job with what they do. If you're in the market for delivering your strength and conditioning programs to anybody, or if you're interested in the entrepreneurial side of being able to deliver your programs remotely, by far the best ones out there, in my opinion. This week, I'm joined by a great mentor of mine, Jerry Palmieri. Jerry is a guy that I've looked up to for many, many years, only going back to him being a mentor to one of my early mentors, Doug Elias, working in South Florida, and been in the league. I mean, he's been in the profession over 34 years, been a little bit everywhere, but most notably in the NFL for quite some time. And just a guy I hold in really high regard. So, Coach, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Ron, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for that kind introduction. I appreciate that very much.
Coach, you've been, I mean, I think going back, you know, I read, you know, reread a story that you had written, but I mean, North Carolina, I didn't know you were at North Carolina, but Oklahoma State, New York Giants, Jacksonville Jaguars, been quite a few places. Which one of those stops along the way had the most impact on you in your coaching career?
Well, that's a tough question, Ron. You know, each place was special and each place impacted me significantly. I'd probably say Oklahoma State because that's where I met my professional daddy, John Stuckey. And Coach Stuckey really impacted me. He taught me how to coach. He challenged me. He taught me some great lessons about being a man, about living a Christian life and being a great coach and really working the floor. He had a tremendous impact on me and just a great man, great coach.
Yeah, having coached at Tennessee and attended one of Coach Stuckey's clinics at Tennessee, just a phenomenal person, and his legacy lives well on, you know, well on, and just one of those guys I wish I would have had more of an opportunity to interact with. Coach, you don't spend 34 years in this profession, without making some mistakes along the way. What's one of the biggest mistakes you've made, and how you learned from it?
Well, sometimes pushing guys too much, trying to squeeze a little blood out of a turnip and keep just challenging the guys. And sometimes you push them too hard and they break. That's one of the challenges as a coach. You know, you want to take them as far as you can, but you don't want to take them too far. And unfortunately, along the way, there's times where that happened. And I wish it didn't, but, you know, it's had to make adjustments along the way to overcome some of those issues.
What advice would you have for that young coach that, I mean, is going down that route of making that mistake? How do you know when to pull back?
One thing, when you start seeing you guys getting tired, when you see them doing a lot of stretching, you know, after you're already warmed up, when they're feeling their pec and, you know, like a little tight on them, that's probably a point where you probably need to step in and say, hey, we probably need to adjust here.
Yeah.
Just that volume, adjust that intensity, adjust the exercise, change things up.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's, I mean, great, but you bring up a great point. I think that's something that often gets missed, but that's really that's the apprenticeship part of strength and conditioning. Is it's not just the sets and reps, and it's not creating the programs and all that, but it's all the little subtle things that go into a workout of being able to monitor the room and monitoring those, you know, those extra stretches or you know, hearing in their voice, their energy levels or things like that, that really kind of separate the wise strength coaches or the experienced strength coaches from those that are just kind of getting in the profession?
I think the problem that I've seen over the years in the profession is you got the coach that's going to be on the floor coaching and working the athletes and investing in the athletes, and he's out there around them constantly. And then you got the coach that is going to make a great workout, put it up on a board, and then sit in the office, go in meetings or whatever it takes, you know, for his administrative side. And to me, I've been an on-the-floor coach. I don't think there's another way to coach. And I actually lose respect for coaches that don't are not on the floor coaching. That's just the way it is. I mean, you got to be out there with the athletes. You got to be coaching. And I've always felt disappointed when I didn't give a guy enough attention, where we sit down at the end of the day as a staff and I say, well, you know, tell me about this guy, because I really didn't see him that much. I didn't get to really touch him. And I make sure the next time, the next work training session, that I'm touching his life as well, because I wanted every one of my coaches, any one of my athletes, to know that I was coaching them, and as if I was watching every set, every rep on them, and they knew I cared about what they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, ultimately with technology and you know, all the staff members now and the time demands of sport and all those things, it's getting less and less time that you're actually with the athletes, and you got to make the most of it, you know, when you do, and you got to seek it out actively. Anytime you're hiding in an office, it's not gonna bode well for relationship building. And that's what I know, you know, through the years, that's what I've known the most about you is the relationships that you've formed with your athletes and how much you invest in them, not just on the, you know, in the weight room or on the field, but off, you know, outside of the weight room as well. Talk a little bit about the importance of building a relationship with your athletes off the field.
Well, I always wanted to create an environment of love in my training facilities, so guys would want to come in and train rather than come in to work out. So I wanted to create that environment, and then as you get to know them and you get to find out what's going on there in their lives, and you begin to impact their lives and just talking about life, things that are really special going on in their lives. You know, as a college coach, you're kind of like a dad to these kids. Many of them are leaving home for the first time, and they have no one to turn to, and then you're the strength coach, you're around them all the time, and next thing you know, they're sitting in your office just talking about this and that, tests they have going on, girls they're meeting or guys they're meeting, and so on and so forth, and you begin to impact their lives and help them make wise decisions. And by the grace of God, I've been involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes for over many years, and I got to be able to impact them spiritually as well. And then as you got to the NFL, now you're dealing with grown men, and their challenges are different. Now they're dealing with a wife, and now they're dealing with finances and dealing with rearing the kids, and issues come up. And you know, sitting down in the office and talking to them about those days really made the job special, because when I got into this profession, it was more than just, you know, sets and reps and throwing weight around. And obviously I wanted to get guys stronger, faster, and be better on the field, but I also wanted to make better people and impact the lives of everyone I had a chance to touch.
Yeah, I think that's something that, you know, I think people get into the profession and they get into it for a variety of reasons, but kind of the two main ones are they just simply like to lift, they like to be in a weight room, and that's, you know, they found a career that kind of centers around that. And then I think you got people that genuinely think that may be one of the best ways to make an impact on somebody, you know, for their life, you know. And I don't think either one of them are bad, but, I mean, the opportunity to make that type of impact in somebody's life. And I always talk about the weight room being just such a great microcosm of life, because you have to come in and you have a plan and you get smacked in the face and you have to deal with adversity and you have to deal with success and all those types of things. Is why I chose the weight room. But when you talk impact, what would you say to those coaches that, you know, that they're not in it for that reason? They're in it for, you know, because they like to lift weights or they want to be just around the glitz and glamour of sport?
Well, I think you're missing a great opportunity, because when you can influence the next generation, and leave behind a legacy in the lives of people. Those intangibles that you leave behind are so much greater than the championship trophies and all the records that have been set. I think back and I'll get a phone call from a guy and he'll say, you know, Jerry, you had a heck of an impact on me. Just out of the blue. And I was like, man, I didn't really even know that.
Yeah.
And I have one guy grew up single mom and also never had a real male role model in his life until he had coaches come into his life. And he called me up and he said, you know, Jerry had an amazing night last night. I got to speak at a Fellowship Christian Athletes fundraiser and talk about coaches like you impacted my life. And now I can raise my kids as a man should raise his children. So, you know, that's meaningful. That's very special.
Yeah, no question. And I mean, we both, you know, we share strongly our faith and how that is a part of what we do. But to me, this profession is way too hard to be in if you're only in it for the glitz and glamour or for the T-shirt or for just because you like to lift weights. I think it's going to break you down. It's not going to be worth it at some point. But if you have that opportunity to, if you recognize that opportunity to make an impact in somebody's life and you have those types of experiences where people actually legitimately come back and tell you that the role that you played, that's huge. You talk about in your story in the Golden Age of Strength and Conditioning, you talk about a story with Sarah Hasselbeck, you know, and how, you know, here's a female, I think she, what, lacrosse, right?
She was a field hockey player.
Field hockey. But I mean, here's through FCA or whatever it was. I mean, I'd say, oh, you were always kind of a football strength coach, but, you know, here's a sport that you necessarily didn't work with as much, but you still had a kind of an impact. But this how you lived your life. I think athletes, they see not just how we are within our own weight rooms, but how we are with our own families, how we are with other people, how we carry ourselves as men or women. And they're noticing that as well, aren't they?
Absolutely. They're going to see how you live your life and really the things that you demonstrate are more worth more than what you say. And just like little kids watch their daddy and they learn from what their daddy does, not so much what their daddy says. Well, Sandy, these people see, they look at you and they watch what you do. And Sarah was special. She was a phenomenal athlete at Boston College. I mean, tremendous. And I didn't realize the impact that I had on her life. But I was at the 2001 Hall of Fame ceremonies, the inductions of Michael Strahan. And Matt and Sarah were there for one of his teammates from Seattle, Walter Jones. One of his offensive linemen. And as I was leaving, I saw Matt, said hello to him, and had to continue on because he had to get to the bus. And all of a sudden, I heard this woman running after me saying, Coach Palmieri, Coach Palmieri. And I turned and looked, and it was Sarah. And honestly, I didn't recognize her. You know, it's been quite a few years. And she said, hi, I'm Sarah Hasselbeck. And Coach, just want to tell you, those FCA meetings you had changed my life. When she said that, I just burst out in tears and was overwhelmed with emotion, just realizing that I could have an impact on someone's life like that. And who would ever think a strength coach could impact one's life in such a manner? So that was very special to me. And it just goes to show that people are watching and they're listening to what you say. And you miss an opportunity if you don't impact the lives of the athletes that have been entrusted to you.
Yeah, what a great line. I mean, missed opportunities is exactly right. And, you know, we have that, we have to remind ourselves because sometimes when you get into the grind, you know, of being there every day, 12 hours a day, you know, 13 hours a day and you're grinding, sometimes you lose sight of the fact that every single day you have that opportunity to make that type of lasting impact. And you've got to be the consistent one in that process.
Well, it could be negative too. Yeah. You're gonna, as a coach, you are going to influence your athletes. There's no question about it. One way or the other, you're going to influence whether you like it or not, whether it be positive or negative. You know, they say the most powerful phrase in English language is coach says.
Yeah.
Coach says. So the athlete hears what you say, they're going to listen. They're not going to listen to their mom and dad, but they're going to listen to you because you said it and you're the coach.
So. I alluded to the book that's coming out, The Golden Age of Strength and Conditioning. I think it's what, you and 31 others?
Exactly, yeah. It's 32 of us total.
Yeah, 31 other strength coaches that were practicing in the 80s when this field was really forming at its foundation. Talk a little bit about, where this book came from, the idea behind it, and some of the people that are involved.
Well, basically, Chip Sigmund. Chip and I started in North Carolina together as graduate assistants, and we've maintained our friendship over the years. And he was riding to work, and he decided to call Mike Gentry, another friend of ours. Mike was a longtime strength coach at Virginia Tech.
Yep.
And they were talking, and I think Chip said to him, or Mike said to Chip, hey, Chip, how much did you make when you started Appalachian State? And Chip said, well, I didn't make anything, Mike. They gave me three hots at the training table, and they gave me a place to stay inside the stadium. And that was it. They didn't even pay me. And then Mike said, well, I was at East Carolina. I was making $12,000.
Right.
So, and then Chip said, well, that's the golden age of strength and conditioning. And Mike said, oh, that sounds like a title of a good book. And that's kind of how the thought came into play. Then Chip called me, and we just started talking about it. And basically what we wanted to do was to share stories about guys that started out in the profession and before the profession became the profession. You know, now you have – it's evolved to a point where strength coaches are getting recognized. You have those top five conferences having, five strength coaches for football only.
Right.
You know, we started out, it was one strength coach for all the sports. And yet we had to take care of football. We had to train the other sports as well.
Right.
And we might have a GA. We may have an assistant working out of small weight rooms. And it's not a woe is me type story. It's just sharing our stories, our struggles, and, some of the issues that we had getting into the profession. We kind of laid the foundation for what the profession is today. Boyd Epley writes the foreword, and he writes his story. Mike Arthur is in there. Johnny Parker is also in there. Bill Ferran, Alan Johnson. There's so many of them. But guys who've been around a long time, and we all have our stories. We all come from different angles. And for me, it was, I had no intention of ever becoming a strength coach. I didn't start lifting weights until I got out of college.
Yeah.
It just kind of, how God directed my life and laid out a plan for me. And by the grace of God, I followed it.
Yeah, what an important book in general to read. And I made a post the other day. I mean, it's something that needs to be in everybody's library. Not because it's going to be some sets and reps book that's going to blow you away, but it's going to be something that reminds you of what's possible when a group of people decide to go make something special, and here's, to me, the one that I said this on the show quite a bit, the number one thing that I get frustrated about in our profession is, that coach that comes out with a degree and a certification and feels like they're entitled to a job. And, as a whole, as the profession, I don't think we've evolved it a whole lot. I mean, we've evolved it in that money's better and recognition is better and those types of things. But guys like yourself and Chip and Mike and all those others, created a job, created jobs out of nothing. When at a time when people thought it was bad to lift weights, they thought it was bad to lift weights. You tell the story about how boxing, it was outlawed as far as, you know, being able to lift weights in boxing.
Exactly.
But now, you know, so there's so much opportunity that still exists. You know, I mean, tactical strength and conditioning was a way to kind of advance the profession, I think. But, I mean, we need to be thinking outside the box, just like you guys did, to grow this profession in a different way and stop throwing our hands up and saying, where's the jobs?
Well, you know, it was tough back then because there weren't as many jobs. But it was easy back then because there weren't as many strength coaches. Now you have so many universities that have strength coaching degrees, and guys are coming out as educated strength coaches. Well, where are jobs coming from?
Right.
Now it's time to feel like the flood of the profession. But on the other hand, there's a lot more jobs. I mean, you see, as I said earlier, you have football teams that have 5 strength coaches just for the football team. But then you have a director of strength and conditioning for the Olympic sports. And there might be 7 people over there. So there's a lot more jobs. You know, the pay obviously has advanced. You know, it's it was a struggle back then, you know, getting paid and making ends meet. But it was all good. It was a great way. It's a great profession. So glad I had the opportunity to be a part of it during that era. And the people we learned, the people we impacted, it was a great profession. And I think the book is outstanding because it just shares stories of where people came from. And I think, hey, you got to know where you came from and where the profession evolved from. Right. It wasn't always like this. So young guys stepping into the profession now, they think it was always like this. Well, it wasn't.
No.
But it's okay, and it's good for them to know that.
Well, it's good to hear the stories of perseverance as well. I mean, I think that's everybody, every strength coach that I know has gone through stages in their career where it looked bleak, you know, and, you know, those that stick it through and doing it for the right reasons oftentimes come out on the other side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coach, how do you, you know, I mean, I stood up at a conference, I don't know, however many years ago, 10, 15 years ago, and, you know, had everybody stand up, and it was, you know, 300, 400 people in the room, and I told them to sit down if they couldn't name 5 people that have retired being a strength coach. And pretty much the entire room sat down. You know, you're one of the few that has retired being a strength and conditioning coach. How do you, what advice do you have for all of us on how we can last in this profession?
Well, I'll tell you what John Stuckey told me when I was at Kansas State, and Kansas State has evolved to a pretty good program, and I had the privilege to work under Coach Snyder for his first 4 years there. But my first 3 years there, our record at Kansas State was 1-31-1. It was soon to be dubbed the losingest football program in the history of the NCAA. And I was getting frustrated. And I would call Coach Stuckey up and vent my frustrations because a lot of my professional friends were at big time schools with big time jobs, making big time money, getting big time bowl games and recognition and all that stuff. And no, I'm stuck here. 131-1. And he told me, he said, "Jerry, be the best you can be where God has you, and in his time, he will move you." And so that's what I did. I just tried to be the best I could be, keep working at my craft and doing the best job coaching. And a couple months go by, and I get frustrated again. I'll call Coach Stuckey up again. He'd tell me the same thing. Be the best you can be where God has you. And in time, God provided the opportunity for me to go to BC. Met with Coach Coughlin, and for one reason or another, he liked me, and had the privilege to be his strength coach for 21 years. And so that's the best advice that I can give anybody is hey, wherever God has you, be great. Kevin Elko, great motivational speaker, says, be where your feet are.
Yeah.
Be great. Wherever you're at, be great. Be the best you can be. Work hard, and then you'll build your reputation. People will notice you. And in time, the cream rises to the top.
Okay. I agree 100% with that. It's the book. I always recommend the book, Make the Big Time Where You're At. And, you know, with Frosty Westerling, and same message, you know, just, you know, focus on where you're at, and there's a bigger plan. But even if you don't believe that, there, you know, there's no one wants to hire somebody that doesn't appreciate where they're at.
So many times, Ryan, guys are always looking for the next best opportunity, looking for that job that pays more, the job with greater recognition, got jobs located in a certain part of the country. They spend so much time trying to get that next job that they fail to take care of the position that they're in.
Right.
And if I didn't follow Coach Stuckey's advice that he gave me at Kansas State, I would not have been prepared, nor would I have received the necessary recommendations for Coach Coughlin to hire me at Boston College. And how devastating that would have been. As I said, BC was the beginning of a 21-year stint with us working together.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Coach, we end the show with some resources. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received. You mentioned a few things already.
Coach Stuckey told me one time, he says, people do what you inspect, not what you expect. And he said, Jerry, if you expect your athletes to be squatting 80% for five, you better be there watching and making sure they're squatting 80% for five. And that probably is what I consider the best coaching advice, because you got to be out there coaching them. They got to feel like you know, you have a room of 30 people, 25 people. Everyone have to feel like you're coaching them. You got to be all over the room, touching each person, coaching each person, and know what's going on in the room. So that's my best piece of coaching advice right there.
You know, you're not much of an app or a website guy, but give us a book recommendation.
Well, the book that I'm beginning to read right now is fairly new. It's called The System, and it's by Johnny Parker, Al Miller, and Rob Panarello. And these are great men who I have a great deal of respect for. And they go back to the Soviet periodization, and they make applications to American football. So the American strength coach. So I think it's a great resource, and a tremendous amount of knowledge being shared in that book. So that's my best recommendation for you right now.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I've read that and had Johnny on the podcast before as well. And all three great men that are part of that golden age for sure. And, you know, just again, it's just so grateful that they put some of that knowledge back into print form for everybody. Well, Coach, you know, like I said at the beginning, I mean, you're a guy that I've respected, looked up to for many, many years, but even since we've become friends and, you know, and colleagues and whatnot, I mean, people don't know, I don't know what your list is up to right now. You probably don't even know, but, you know, Coach Paul Mary, you know, would send a message, you know, almost a daily devotional every single day to me. And did it at a time when, you know, I wasn't in the Word as much as I would have liked to have been, and motivated me to get back and do my daily devotional, my daily time with the Lord. And again, I mean, we talk about impact. I mean, you've had an impact not only on me as a coach, but me as a Christian man and as a man in general. So thanks so much for all you've done for me and everybody else. And I really appreciate coming on the show, Coach.
Ron, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.